Well, good afternoon, everybody. We look forward to getting together with you here on the Jesus Factor. A couple of folks to interview up here in South Carolina. I hope you stick around and join with us. As the intro song winds down, Turn, Turn, Turn by the Byrds here, our favorite intro song for the Jesus Factor.
Who are you going to get with those scissors?
What am I going to get with the scissors?
Yeah, you ain't planning on stabbing anybody, are you?
Well, not on that wouldn't make for good live radio. You'd only be able to hear it. You wouldn't be able to see it, the blood effects.
Okay. Okay.
That, by the way, is my good friend Paul Muller. I'm in the mobile unit up here in South Carolina. How are you today?
I'm doing.
Doing?
I'm doing it.
Well,
doing pretty good, actually.
Cool. I know we've had a great visit. We're certainly blessed to be able to be up here with you.
And you look great.
Paul does.
There's a sarcasm in the wit there, but I'm here.
Well, as usual, on the Jesus Factor, the first portion of the show is dedicated to taking a little bit of a look at the mess that the United States is in because of the state of the church. We know here, from the perspective of the Lord, that the reason our country is in the mess that it's in is because the churches have failed to remain salty and hold back the corruption that is bringing this world to an ever-increasing, disastrous collapse. When that will happen, of course, is up to the Lord. How it will happen is up to the Lord. But you can see the effects of the sin in this world just mushrooming into horrible, horrible consequences. The financial picture is ever more grim. QE3, quantitative easing, the Federal Reserve once again printing or creating digitally more and more money. You know, what they're saying out here is that businesses have plenty of money to spend, but they're not hiring. We had 9.1% unemployment. This is an unheard of number in the United States before these times. Only during the Great Depression, when unemployment was about 2.5 times that, far worse, but only during that time in this country has it ever been anything like this, and it's never lasted for the period of time that we have going on here in these times. 9.1% unemployment is huge. I don't know about you. I thank God that He has protected me, allowed me a place to work, a business with an owner who has the strength financially and the faith to invest his money in the things that we do. We pray for him on a regular basis. We pray for our business, and I hope all of you folks do that as Christians. It's one of the most important things you can do if you work for wages. If you work for wages, serving your employer faithfully as unto the Lord, and praying for the success of that business is the thing that you can do that others who may bring other things to the table naturally, but do not have the Lord, they cannot do that. And very often the Lord will witness, testify, that he is with you. And you will be put into positions that will allow you opportunities to minister in your business. And if things continue to go the way they are in this country, we have gold at $1,840, I think, thereabouts this week. Silver at $43 an ounce. If they continue to print money the way that they have, it's going to keep going higher. I heard my friend Brad over here told me they were talking about $3,000 an ounce, which means that when I last bought gold, which was back in the late 1990s, I think I paid $280 an ounce. So if gold was to go to $3,000 an ounce, this doesn't mean I'm going to make a lot of money. It means that the dollar has decreased in value tenfold. That means it's worth 10% of what it was just 12 or 14 years ago. 10%. And that's taken a little less than 15 years to happen. You know, it's hard to imagine just how bad it might get in the financial realm here in the United States.
That's the tax increase without any legislation, isn't it?
Which is what, I mean, that's the fancy, they call it inflation, but what it really is just the destruction of the currency, and it does amount to a tax on all of our resources. So we're going to get with Brad and Paul here in just a minute, play a little song for you, and here on the Jesus Factor, this is Scott Stevens on the Eagle Radio Network. Stay with us. We're going to have all kinds of good stuff from the Lord in the show today. Welcome back, everyone. This is Scott Stevens. The show is The Jesus Factor. We're here on the Eagle Radio Network. And this afternoon, we're live from South Carolina. I have Brad Capshaw and Paul Muller here in the mobile unit with me. And our sense is we thought we'd have a discussion, see where the Lord takes us on some of the things that are going on with us each personally and how the Lord is dealing with us in some of these areas. And I'm going to throw it to Paul to begin with because I can tell he's looking lively and he's got his Bible with him, so I'm hoping he may have something from the Scriptures that he want to share with us. What do you say, Paul?
We're looking. I was looking through Mark, and you know, we're in a time when the church is either going to distinguish itself in its faithfulness to the Word and the Scriptures and in service to the Lord, or you know, or Herod government is going to distinguish itself in people's minds.
Right.
Who is it going to be? You know, so this is like Elijah and the prophets of Baal.
That's right. Right.
And, you know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, this generation looks for a sign. He just fed 5,000 people. And this generation is looking for a sign. As who is it? Who's going to be God? Is it going to be the government that you turn to? Or is it going to be the Lord God of hosts, Jehovah, the God of the Bible? And, you know, the sign that Jesus, the only sign Jesus promised was the sign of
Jonah the prophet.
Yeah, there you go.
Right. Yep.
That's all he promised. But he goes down after verse 12 and 15 in 8, my gosh. After verse 12 in chapter 8, he says, "Take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And, you know, amongst other things, leaven of the Pharisees. Pharisees knew who Jesus was and what he was about and sought to destroy the belief and block the belief of everybody else who was running around listening to him.
That's right.
They sought to destroy their faith because it meant they were going to lose their position. And the leaven of Herod is, remember back in the Old Testament when they were guilty of unjust weights and measures?
Oh, yes, sir. We've spoken about that on the program more than once.
And when Jesus went through the temple and started flipping tables over and calling it a den of robbers, do you suppose they were cheating people with the... they had the temple oranges here. These are kosher.
Right, the ones that come from the temple are more blessed by God. Sure,
right.
Sure.
And instead of getting, you know, three for a dollar, they were getting two for a dollar. But, you know, after all, it's for the Lord.
That's right.
That's all justified.
Right.
And they had scales that were cheating people and weights. And this is, you know, how the government works, and how it'll take your dollar because you need to feel like you're giving to the common cause to help those that are less fortunate than yourself.
Which is this illusion of the government being a benevolent operation, something that's there,
right,
like the big daddy to help everybody.
And, of course, if you're not of that mind, they'll just put a gun in your face and take it from you.
Well, and they call you names in the process of it. Even if they don't physically shoot you,
right,
or physically come and commandeer your property, which is another thing that they're likely to do, they will make fun of you and embarrass you and hope that you will at least be quiet so you don't encourage other people.
Well, you do your best. You pay your taxes, and that's really all you need to be responsible for, right?
Amen.
They take your money and they take and supply the needs of the needy. And in order to be a beneficiary of the government's benefits, you have to have never owned or paid for anything your entire life. We've had some natural disasters here. We had, the hurricane that went through the Northeast and made a mess in Vermont and other places. In this area, we had Hurricane Hugo, which just made this place look like a war zone. And it really looked awful.
I remember when you were sharing that with me the other day when we were talking about comparing the two storms.
My parents, who raised in the Depression, their home was flooded. And FEMA came in and they started, doing their door-to-doors and stuff. And so my father asked the FEMA guy, "So can I get one of these low-interest loans?" And he said, "No, you don't qualify."
Why?
Well, you have too much equity in your house. You paid your bill. And we're not going to do anything for you. Sorry. See you later.
So the people that are paying the freight are not eligible
to receive
any of the benefits that are available otherwise to those that regularly receive those benefits.
Right. And the in order, if Jesus told that rich guy that came to him, said, "What must I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And he says, the law. Don't kill, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't murder.
I did all that since I was a boy.
Yeah. And he says,
liar.
One thing you lack, sell everything you've got and give to the poor and come follow me. And he just says that guy left sorrowful.
He had great possessions.
He nailed him on the first commandment.
Right.
Thou shalt have no other God before me. I am Lord thy God.
Right.
I am a jealous God.
And interestingly enough, how many of us, while we're all not called to give up all of our things, we are all called to rearrange our attitudes and our priorities to get God in first place.
So, he nailed him on what? He was an idolater.
That's right.
And he turned around sorrowful and went away. The government is essentially telling you, you have to sell all of your goods and give them to the poor and become a recipient from us. You have to not have anything, and then we'll take care of you.
And then we'll care for you.
Now, who do you want to take care of you? The government you can see and know is crooked, or the God you can't see that sent his son and bled on the cross for your sorry hiney? Narrow as it may be, hiney.
Narrow. I'm sitting right here. I have a feeling.
Sorry.
Paul, but it sounds like you're saying that the United States government is not a godly government.
I've never known one that was.
What do you base that on?
Name me one that was.
I'll answer my own question. When Satan took Jesus, was he on the pinnacle of the temple?
Mm-hmm.
Showed him all the kingdoms of the world, yeah. All of them in a moment of time.
What did he say?
He said, "I'll give it all to you." Did Jesus dispute the fact that he had the right to give it to him?
No, he didn't.
No. Which tells you that all civil government is inherently flawed and of the natural mindset of this world. And if you have the mind of the world is to be the enemy of Christ.
An enmity with God.
I'm going to tell you something that's the truth. Who would I rather, making the determination as to who is going to receive the benefits, the largesse that is in the storehouse? Would I rather have a government official doing that or somebody who carries the Spirit of God?
Well, I know the answer for us is an easy one. We would rather have somebody who carries the Spirit of God making those decisions.
Amen.
That's it. Because the government, all the government manages to do is to acquire things.
But the problem is the unbeliever sees only the government and does not recognize And see, this is why these two things are pitched in here together. You have 11 of the Pharisees and 11 of Herod, because those that are in the church today are largely Pharisaical in their approach to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. It was the organized church that crucified the Lord himself.
And because of that, the church is not sufficiently holding back corruption, so the government is taken first place, is stepped into that role of God or idol, and people have bought it because the church has not been effective at manifesting the power of God.
There's that. That's the case as well. You know, the words have come out of my mouth that, you know, the government has become the sole supplier to all these people because the church wasn't doing its job. The truth of the matter is, the government is a reflection of the heart of the people, and if the church had been doing its job, the government would have never gotten to this business.
Couldn't have happened. Because the fall takes place.
The churches have signed. They're on board with Herod. They're in league with Herod.
Talking about 501c3 status?
Yeah.
And that, of course, that contract has been around since the late 1800s. And those that do not know what we're talking about, the 501c3 is the government licensing of churches as charitable organizations. And we have a number of good studies on this from the perspective of history and how this happened, how corporate law ended up being foisted upon the church. Of course, the United States Constitution says that the government shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. All right, and the idea here is that the government has no authority over the church and the things of God. They have no authority to make such a law with regard to the church. But the church, because they wanted to keep their wealth in place back when this all came into being, they were looking for ways to secure their wealth from generation to generation. This is one of the reasons that this has happened. And this is how we as a country have gotten to the place where we prefer to trust the government rather than trust the Lord. When our ox is going to be gored, when we're the ones who have a shot at maybe losing something or trusting the Lord for it, what do we decide to do? And in the case of the 501c3, that was actually happened up in Vermont, as I understand the history, and it was actually, I believe it was a Methodist church that one of the original cases was won. Like I said, we have some good papers on this. I think they're even up on the website for people who want to read about this. But according to the Word, it's quite clear that the prophet in the Old Testament had authority even over the king, even when the king was a godly king.
Especially when the king was a godly king.
Especially. All right, but the prophet always came, and the people always, or generally, when their hearts were right, respected the word of the prophet as the word of God, and therefore, when the prophet came warning the people, up until the end, and this is, we look what happened in the parallels to the church and Israel. And in the end, the prophets that came were what? We had Ezekiel, all right, we had Daniel was later after they went into the captivity, all right, but we had Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah began, and then Ezekiel picked up essentially the same ministry, but to a different segment of Israel's population, which was after the captivity began. But Israel went into the captivity because they did not heed the messages of the prophets.
Yeah, because the church doesn't put on the mind of Christ. In some fashion, the church is at enmity with its own Lord. And talking about 501c3s, the Bill of Rights says the government shall not establish a state religion nor prohibit or inhibit the free exercise. So you can give to a church and have full tax exemption without 501c3 status, which is how this particular fellowship is established. I know it's right because I get my tax deduction and I'm able to write off the money I give into this fellowship.
Well, and the thing about it is we know it's right because the Word and the government, this is one of the places where the foundation of the law of this country is in agreement with the Word still. They still have not
in any meaningful way that anyone would, that even in the courts, yeah. I believe these things will stand, because the Constitution quite clearly doesn't allow for the establishment of a law that interferes with the business of the churches. Now, if a church or an organization calling itself a church signs on board,
right
to the 501c3, they have agreed with the government to do things in the way that the government lines out, and they have replaced, essentially, the Lord God Jehovah with the United States Baal God. And that is 11.
Yes.
Yeah, it's 11 Herods.
That's the Rolling Stones and Street Fighting Man. It's a lot of what you might end up having happen here in this country in the event that things continue to deteriorate the way that they have over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I remember the Detroit riots. It doesn't take much.
People get... apologize for that
space
little
noise.
little mixer debacle, but we've got it back in tow. I know I had a request to bring one of the listeners up on Skype, and I normally can do that. I'm not outfitted for that in the mobile unit. We'll attend to that immediately after the broadcast.
If not sooner,
I know that is going to be a costly error.
I got the message.
Okay, so you do have the message. Okay, yeah. So the caller was able to get through. Okay, what do we have?
We had
a sign up in prior to the election. And Ricky and I were driving down the road. I don't remember what election it was, but
it's a local. It was a county election. Yeah.
I saw this sign. The sign said proven leadership or something like that. Leadership that counts. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and I spoke to Ricky. I said, man, we don't want a leader. We want somebody who will do what we tell them to do.
Do what they're supposed to do.
The government is a creation of the people.
Amen.
That's right.
But it has become a lord over the people.
That's right.
Yep.
And the church has become the same thing. The church has gotten in league with the government, and it seeks to rule and set the agenda, God's agenda. And it's not seeking the agenda. It's not seeking the Lord.
It's not seeking the Lord. It's setting a worldly agenda.
The church
agenda.
Is a creation.
Right, of the people.
Of the Lord God.
Right, the true church, absolutely, right, is the body of Christ and is...
The church without the salt is just... a shell of its former self, and it has become ministers of a false gospel. All you got to do is be a good person and come punch the clock every week.
Right, show up on Sunday.
Show up on Wednesday night.
Follow the rules. Do what's right.
Twice on Sunday if we have two of them.
What's right, though, is according to whose definition? And I mean, the word is quite clear. His ways are not our ways. And we all, day to day, I mean, I know myself, particularly in recent days, have seen some things about myself that have been a part of me, and I've been walking under grace, praise God, but saw these things and said, oh my gosh, how can I be saved? The idea that we still have things going on with us, even though we've been Christians for many years, that if we're following the Lord will open up to us in His good time. But if we were running things, we would never even think of this stuff.
You know, it kind of starts back with John F. Kennedy saying, you know, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. It's all been flip-flopped now.
Everything's been turned around.
What can my government do for me? And, you know, if it takes me losing all my worldly goods, but I have the government protecting me and sending me that check, direct deposit every month, and giving me the EBT cards, and giving me, you know, whatever, WICs and everything else. There's veteran benefits and military retirement. There's so many checks the government cuts.
Right.
There's so many people in the country that are beneficiaries.
I heard the number was over 40% now are either employed by or paid by the government.
Well, you don't have any interest in changing the status quo, then. You don't really care whether you vote or not, do you?
Well, I know I do.
But yeah, well, that's
because I get my
you're still yet hanging on.
I get my Social Security check,
you're
right?
Still hanging on to the stuff.
AFPC,
you got to learn.
Reduced family housing, what, can a free car pass? I don't need nothing from nobody.
That's right. Anyway, we're making fun, but it's a serious point.
It is a serious point.
Yeah, well, the proverb says, let every man eat his own bread. Some people got Chevy bread, and some people got Cadillac bread. That doesn't mean you're not being blessed by the God of heaven.
Yeah, well, today that's all. That would be cornbread because it's Mexican. But I go somewhere.
You digress.
I digress.
But the truth of the matter is, look, the church. If the church fails to minister the Word of God
faithfully,
then obviously everything is going to begin to be turned around. And if the Word of God is not ministered faithfully, the power of God is not going to be present. And people looking for the blessings of God in a church where there is no power are ultimately going to turn to that which is natural, that which they can see.
Right. And that's the government. And you're just driving to it. And then, of course, you're a 501c3, so that's where you want them.
Right. Right where you can control them.
Yeah.
All right. And I think... I mean, it seems likely under this scenario that while we continue to pray, I mean, you hope for revival of some sort, but you know, as you go forth and you teach people, you seek to teach people about the Lord, I know that in the beginning, I mean, I had lots of friends out here in the world. When I first became a Christian, I had I had a bunch of guys that we used to hang out together, and you know, we went shooting together, and
oh yeah,
you know what I mean. We had barbecues together, and we were all good buddies. And I became a Christian, and some of these guys actually accepted the Lord. They, my children, bunches of people, ultimately accepted the Lord. But after, you know, the parable of the seed and the sower,
yeah,
right. You have the four seeds, and of those four seeds, there's only one that was never a Christian, right? That one that Satan took the seed up before they could receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the two that don't bring forth any fruit to perfection, and one of them is a function of they are tried, and they're offended.
Mm-hmm.
Right? God didn't give me what I wanted, didn't perform, didn't do the dance that when I piped they didn't dance, and when I sang or when I wept they didn't mourn.
Something makes me feel good. I can't weigh and measure this. And
so they departed.
Yeah.
And in departing from the Lord, they departed from me. And so I don't have a lot of friends out here, what people that I would call friends or even associates.
Have you looked at yourself?
You got a great face for radio.
Yeah, I got a good. We all got good radio faces.
Hey.
But it's, I mean, sure, maybe I'm not the best guy to have around as a friend. What do I know? But I know that anyone that I counted as a friend or acquaintance, all of those people, to a man,
yeah,
even my children, in one way or another, have turned on me because I turned to the Lord.
Well, the gospel's an offense.
And this is where I was going with all this. I mean, is it possible that we're reaching a point in the world where the corruption and the wickedness has been stacked up so high that they're just people are just not going to hear.
But even
what do? Do you give up? I mean,
no. If they don't come in a large revival wave like in the history of this nation, there's still going to be individuals. And the mandate to us is to preach the gospel to every creature.
Sow the seed. We're not ground inspectors.
Sow the seed. That is exactly it.
Right.
Exactly right.
But it doesn't. I mean, you sound like you're okay with that. You don't have the cynicism. I say I have a problem. There's another problem the Lord showed me recently that I begin to try and grapple with and wrestle with. I have a measure of cynicism about this, and I don't think it stops me from delivering the word, but it stops me from hoping that the word might actually find good ground.
Oh,
I know that's a wicked...
That's part of that judge with righteous judgment thing, because, you know... And to what does James say? To be not a respecter of persons.
Not a respecter of persons.
Because you're not a ground inspector.
Amen.
That's all that means. You're not a ground inspector.
Yeah, Jesus would commit himself to no man because it says he knew what was in the heart of man, but he still had a job to do, just like we have a job to do.
And he still brought forth the gospel with love. And see, where I'm suggesting that I... and struggling and perhaps falling short is the idea that I perhaps don't hope in love as much as I ought to with the kind of zeal that I had in the beginning to when I brought the gospel forth to people, and how hopeful I was when so many, a lot of people accepted the Lord when I first came to the Lord, and how hopeful I was for those people. And some of that has... from my own fault has departed from me, and I'm concerned about it. I'm seeking the Lord about it, seek to get straightened around the right way. So I guess what I'm saying to you guys, Paul and Brad, how do you personally deal with the idea of you bring the gospel forth to people and so many people reject it, and particularly people that we're close to, people in our family, in our own households, out here at work, people that we might like and want to see,
absolutely,
hear the word and get delivered from this world. I mean, how do you internally? How do you respond in the Lord in faithfulness as you bring that word forth? I mean, what's your attitude in that, Brad?
The command is to take Christ's gospel to the world. When Christ's gospel is preached to the whole world, he'll return, and that is to say that we already like. Paul said to Timothy, commit this gospel to faithful men to the end that they would present it to others. So we have to think not with our own carnal mind, but to accept the Word of God as true, even though it's hard to be understood sometimes, and to commit that Word accurately to people. And from there, you can't get around free will. And as far as the emotion accompanying or not accompanying it, well, the love we're commanded to have, well, there is a brotherly or phileo love among the body, but we're commanded to have Christ's agape love, or a love of choice to all men. The greatest love you can show to any man is to offer him a way to heaven. So that's how we do it, even though it can be a little heart-wrenching at times. Look at Jeremiah wept.
Yeah.
Paul had a lot of long nights.
Yeah.
Paul said even the weight of the churches was the weight that came on him daily. So the fact that it bugs you, just press on, man.
Yeah, Paul, in going forth to preach the gospel, and the response may not be terribly positive, do you find yourself struggling with a certain level of cynicism? You know, the idea that people aren't going to hear, so, you know, why bother? I do it anyway. I try and I tell people about the Lord, but I've especially noticed this with in the last few weeks with the homeless folks that I see every day.
I'm bugged by it, too, but, I mean, I know... It's like so many things. I know the answer, but I don't live it out too well.
It doesn't bother me so much with people I don't know as it does with people I do.
Yes.
Family.
That's where it really, really tears. And that's, to me, the source of the cynicism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I haven't, because people that I cared about and I'm close to, I'm now basically, I've cut off because they're not interested in the Lord, so I really don't have anything for them. And they certainly don't have anything for me that I'm interested in. And, you know, these are folks that I, you know, people in my family, kids, and also friends. You know, guys that were close buddies.
Hey, guys you really care about.
Yeah.
You should care about people.
You end up in a position where you're having to make that prayer that makes you want to choke. The words come out really tough. And it's like, whatever it takes, Lord, short of killing them.
Yeah, short of killing them. Do whatever it takes, which
if
is...
If it's even possible for them to receive.
You were praying for me, weren't you?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment, some of the personal experiences that we've all had here recently in the Lord. Our hope is that will...
And somebody was praying for me, too.
That will bless...
I love you, but stop it!
Yeah, right. We do. When we seek to minister to people, very often the fireworks show starts. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments.
Amen, bro.
All right, because when the Lord moves in a person's life, the love of God doesn't always make that person feel good.
Right, For Your Love from the Yardbirds, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, and Eric Clapton.
Yeah, baby.
A few old guitar players.
Sounds like Cream.
Got together. It was just before Cream.
They all played with John Mayall's Blues Breakers.
They started out with the Blues Breakers. That's it. And these guys, this was actually right after the Blues Breakers, and they got together and did that tune, For Your Love. Later on, I think Fleetwood Mac covered it years later. There have been other bands that covered For Your Love. But it's a good song, and we continue to play songs. It's interesting, you know. You can play so-called Christian music, and you know sometimes there's all kinds of messages about the bride and warm fuzzy stuff. And I mean, you know, at least when if I play rock and roll, I know what it is. I'm not grappling with the idea of whether there's any good thing of God in it, and I can enjoy it, and thank the Lord that I have a thing I can enjoy. And leave it at that. Not make a big deal out of it.
I'm free in Christ, man. Play the rock. I love
it. Well, and what I got in the chat was the truth. The idea that it's yet all about me if I am cynical about going forward and preaching the gospel. And I know that's a problem.
Who was the prophet? It's
cynical about your ability to be obedient.
Amen.
So it is your cynicism about... your cynicism about your ability to relate.
You know what it is? It's more... I don't know that it remains...
But it is about you.
Yeah, it is about me, and it's wanting... You know,
God is not cynical.
No.
And if there was one who should be cynical based on...
Right, based on everything
experience.
That happened, is it not the Lord that has certainly would be righteous in having a certain level of cynicism about people? But he did say, the thing that Brad brought up was he said he didn't commit himself to any man.
Yeah.
Right, because he knew what was in man. So the getting to that level where you're committed to the Lord about his business, regardless of the outcome.
It's like when I was single, and I kept getting turned down because I was, you know, crippled and didn't have a lot of money. And it dawned on me, I only need one. I only got to get it right one time. It says he'll joy over thee with singing. You come to him on his turf, on his terms. There's nobody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And
even for us.
And I know that the power of the gospel, one of the things that, particularly since I've been doing radio, that I've been able to rehearse and get back into my life as a function of radio and talking more about the Lord in that format, when the Lord began to move in my... I don't know what happened to anybody else. I know my own testimony. I've seen the things the Lord did with other people.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that the things that happened were clear to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it didn't leave me with any room for, well, maybe I just made that up in my head, or, you know, maybe that really didn't happen. I mean, these things were all things that were happening in a way that simply defied the natural occurrences, the various prophecies and things that happened early on in the ministry that was the Lord brought to me through the people that he sent. And in later years, of course, having to receive correction from these same people is not nearly as palatable as the early introduction.
Just grace.
Which was just grace was falling out of heaven in buckets and buckets and buckets. I don't know about how it was for you guys, but my experience was that there was just grace upon grace upon grace overflowing everywhere. My sense is that grace is still there. We don't...
comes again. It's come. It's always there.
And we just...
move back into it.
Maybe we just don't perceive it because of where we're at.
Because of your pride wells up, I think. You start, you know, you start doing things maybe a little more right, and then somehow it creeps in that somehow you're deserving of his mercy, deserving of relating to him. It doesn't take much. That's why, where's that count of all joy when you fall into divers temptations? Is that James?
Yeah.
Every now and then you need a good slap across the rump to remind you just what you are.
Well, those words were never fell on more open ears than mine, because I got exactly that in a period in my life several years ago that, I mean, I thought that my life was about over when I busted up my butt out in the desert. When I broke my pelvis. And, you know, the thing about it is, all of the things that happened as a function... Now, the Lord didn't bust my butt.
He fell off a horse. He didn't do that.
Right. The Lord didn't, but the Lord, the fact that it happened was because I wasn't paying attention, which was has been a big issue in my walk with the Lord. Being caught up in myself and not paying attention. I don't know about anybody else out there.
I'm shocked.
And where other people are at, but for me, that's been a battle. And I strive to pay attention and to nail down, particularly with my authorities, what they want for me to do, what they want for me to hear. And I get it wrong still and get rebuked and receive. Like I said, that chastisement is not nearly as pleasant as...
So you're saying the thing that happened to you in the physical, natural realm that you can see was really reflecting a spiritual issue.
No question about it.
Yeah, that happens. I believe that's a common occurrence.
Well, I know you've gone through some things recently, Brad, that have had the appearance of, oh my gosh, this guy is
still going
in rough terrain. Well, yeah. And how do you? I mean, I asked you just the other day when you were in the hospital. Brad, by the way, was in the hospital for a period of time. You may want to give us a little background, but I asked you just the other day when you were losing all this blood, were you afraid?
No.
And then, but then you went on to say, you talked a little bit about...
I had a 40 millimeter polyp removed out of the upper part of my small intestine. Came out of it flying colors. I'm laying there yucking it up with my wife. Got down on some Jell-O, which was welcome, and then immediately threw up a liter of blood. So they come in with the crash cart and throw me in ICU, and I was in there for a couple of days, but they were, by now it's like midnight, and they can't get a vein, and I'm bleeding out, I got trouble. They couldn't get a vein because I didn't have enough pressure.
Not enough blood pressure, so your veins are collapsed and they can't...
Blood pressure's 40 over 20, but I'm fully aware. And they had pulled a sheet over my face, which is sort of ominous.
Yeah.
And
maybe I'm already dead, right?
Well, they're trying to get a vein in my neck. And this went on for a very long time. And I finally started saying, hey, guys, it's getting hot in here. I can't breathe. And they kept going on and on. And they finally ended up putting the vein down in my... putting the catheter or whatever you... Or the... what do you call it? The IV in my leg. But I'm laying there praying, you know... Like anybody would, I suppose, you know, because it was quite painful and it was going on. And I just reconciled myself to being in the hands of the Lord. But I didn't have any sense that I was dying. But then, a couple of days later, one of my brothers called me, Steve, and I told him about it. And he said, well, one of two things. Either that was enough of the faith that God's given you in you for him to be able to respond to you, or you're being totally presumptive because you were on the way out and you've been so locked in your own carnal mind that had you died at that point, me and the people around you stand in doubt of your final destiny. Which is, gosh, I mean, how heavy a thing could you say to us?
That's got to be a pretty tough slap. I know that...
I was crushed.
Yeah.
I was crushed. But, you know, it says if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, you're a bastard, not a son. And God scourges every son he receives. And then the scripture goes on to say scourging is not pleasant when it's going on, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And what?
It takes scourging. There's no righteousness in us. None.
Yeah, there's no righteousness in us. But you get, you know, I kept going back to the carnal mind. This has been on my mind a lot, you know, which I guess would be a natural thing. But I was locked in this need to understand and process... I say was, I pray to God, I'm still not. But I had to have an understanding of something to be true in order to respond to it. And I stand utterly at fault. And, you know, we were talking about quantitative easing, the devaluation of your 401. Look, I was raised middle class. My pop's an Air Force officer. For 3 years, the Lord kept telling me, cash out your 401k and pay off your house, which is the dumbest thing financially I could have possibly thought of. You're looking at a 40% loss minimum by the time you pay the taxes and the 10%.
So it doesn't make sense naturally.
Makes no sense.
But you're told in the Lord, right, that his ways are not your ways.
So I finally ran the paperwork, and I did not, strictly speaking, qualify. I wrote a letter, and I said, you know, sirs, I do within the intent of the law, within the penumbra of what you've written, I fall within your bounds, and it's the responsibility and the privilege of management to manage. So please understand that I do, in fact, qualify. They sent me a check. I've paid off my house. The market went straight into the crapper. My hours got cut. I got bounced out of my job into another job in the same plant. But you know what? I came out of that thing unscathed. And that 40% loss I took has been exceeded by the loss in parts of my 401 that I was unable to access.
So the message is that you can rely on the Lord more than you can your own senses and your own mind as to where you're at.
My only question would have been, that was just you and the Lord.
True.
What would have happened if me or Ricky or Steve told you to sell your 401k and pay off your house?
Yeah, then what? What is it when the message comes through the authorities? Then how do we respond?
Is there like a Fifth Amendment to be pled here? But I said,
to keep the government out of the church.
But seriously, bros, man, I say that to my own shame, because I brought that up as an example of how even I had experienced this really radical word from God, had responded to it and had seen the blessing, and yet fell right back into my own normal track. And I bless the Lord. This is grace upon grace to me, and I don't like the way it came. Type 2 diabetes sucks, and having a backache for a year stinks.
Yeah, I know about that.
And losing 61 pounds and sleeping 14 hours a day ain't no way for a man to live. I can't walk across the yard in the heat. Another guy fixed my mower yesterday, and I had to take a nap for 2 hours.
You watched him, and you were...
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the end...
It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised. I want to be exercised thereby.
And it's the humility that we are brought to, that we naturally don't want to go. We get dragged by the chastisement to that humility, and that's where God can actually begin to do something with us.
And bless God for the rod.
Amen.
On the back side of it, though.
Amen. Well, I know that you've had a rough ride, and I praise God to see that you're obviously physically feeling better and that you are wrapping yourself around the correction. Those corrections are difficult to receive, but I don't think there's one of us.
And I bless the Lord and the people around me and over me for it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, that is the Jesus Factor for this afternoon here from South Carolina in the mobile unit. That's Brad Capshaw. We had Paul Muller with us.
Woo!
I'm Scott Stevens, and we look forward to talking with you again next week.
God bless you.
Eagle Radio Network.